All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melon heads of the world. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you all had an excellent weekend. Today is November 10th, 2025. And our top story this morning, gold and silver are just ripping. We have got gold threatening to recapture that all-important $4,100 level. And silver is knocking on that $50 level. It was briefly above it this morning, gave back some of those gains. But both of my favorite of the shinies are looking really good here this morning. Actually, everything is looking pretty good here. We've got stocks are higher, cryptos are higher, gold and silver are higher. Well, let's see if we can figure out why the price of everything is on the rise, shall we? I think it's probably not that big of a mystery, but let's play. Why not? First of all, it appears there is a deal to end the government shutdown in the Senate. Let's temper that enthusiasm right away. It's a deal reached in the Senate. It hasn't gone to the House yet. They've recalled House members. They have 36 hours to come back, and then they're going to have a vote in the House, and you got a very narrow majority in the House, so some Democrats are going to have to cross the line to vote for this if it's going to get through the House also. Then President Trump has to sign it into law. So we're still a long way from the government shutdown ending, but we have a path for the first time. We've got a path here. Several Democrats crossed the aisle yesterday to vote with Republicans in the Senate. Concession, if you will. No Affordable Care Act subsidies were included in this bill. That was the reason for the shutdown to begin with, was we put these during COVID, everything got more expensive. And so the Biden administration put these additional subsidies in place, basically where the government would borrow money and pay people's health insurance to buy health plans on the Affordable Care Act. We left that COVID era stimulus in place until they're going to stay in place until January. And then the thing is, the Republicans have not extended that. And so the Democrats shut down the government over that, saying we want those subsidies to put back in. The Republicans said, no, we're not going to do that. So now we've got a deal to end the shutdown that didn't include that. So a lot of people are saying that's capitulation by the Democrats. But look, they got some things out of it. You know, they're going to reverse the layoffs that the federal government put in place. It looks like several thousand layoffs that happened after October are going to be rolled back. Those people will be hired back. There's also going to be some kind of safeguards put in place to prevent future layoffs. They didn't call it an outright ban on government layoffs, but there's going to be less government firings. We've got SNAP benefits are going to be funded through 2026. That was a big point of contention. Now, here's the other thing that's very interesting about this. This deal only funds the government through the end of January. That's what, 2 months, 3 months? That's all they're funding the government for. So in a few months, we get this same silly exercise all over again because they want this to be an election issue. Also, the Republicans had the promise that they would at least have a vote on the Affordable Care Act subsidies at some point between now and the end of the year. That vote probably won't pass, but Democrats have been able to force Republicans to go on record and vote no on those things. And then, of course, people's healthcare premiums are going to go up because the government isn't subsidizing them anymore. People are going to be pissed, and they intend to use that as an election issue. And by the way, the health premiums, they were always higher. It was just a matter of who's paying for them, the taxpayers or the people buying them. That was always the big question. Now, look, other things going on here that are pushing metals higher and pushing assets prices higher. We've got President Trump is pushing for $2,000 worth of tariff rebates. You misspelled helicopter money there. That's what we're talking about here, right? We're charging tariffs on our importers. People who import things from overseas, they have to pay it. That price gets passed on to consumers. The prices go up, and then the government's like, well, here's some of that money that you're paying in higher prices because of tariffs back in the form of helicopter money. That's what it is. It's stimmy checks. I guess we're doing that again. So, yeah, we wonder why gold and silver are rallying, because stimmy checks. By the way, I thought we were going to pay off the national debt with that money. No, it's not enough to pay off the national debt. The national debt is still getting bigger at a rate of about, what, $2 trillion a year? That's not going to change. And this also raises the question of what happens in the Supreme Court. Let's say the Supreme Court strikes down the tariffs and we've already sent out these $2,000 rebate checks. Are they going to claw those back? That's not going to go over so well with people when their checking accounts go negative $2,000 because they ran off and spent everything. probably on silver like I do if they decide to do that. But I digress. Either way, guys, that's your burr coming back there, the helicopter money. That's not the only thing pushing gold and silver higher this morning. We've also got the 50-year mortgage was floated over the weekend. Good God, 50-year mortgages are apparently on their way to becoming a thing because FHFA Director Bill Pulte confirmed what President Trump tweeted or teased in a True Social piece, that they're looking at 50-year mortgages. No one's ever going to own a house. I mean, you're talking about decades and decades. I mean, 30-year mortgages are already a long thing. Will you ever really own your house, or will you just be paying it off until the day you die? And if you are paying it off to the day you die, then you never really owned it to begin with. Really, it's just feudalism, isn't it? Where the bank owns everything and we just rent it from the bank and they'll take it the second we stop paying. And, well, then there's the other point of property taxes. Well, yeah, you never really own your house because the second you stop giving your money to the government, they come and take your house, don't they? So the road to serfdom is very well paved. Let's put it that way. We've got the FAA is limiting private air traffic now, private jets not being allowed in some dozen of the country's busiest airports here. We've had ongoing flight cancellations due to the government shutdown and air traffic controllers calling out sick or otherwise not showing up for work because they're not getting paid or they need to work other jobs because they still got bills to pay. That is the effect of the ongoing government shutdown, which hopefully will be ending pretty soon here if this deal holds. And we've got the goods recession is well underway as well. U.S. port traffic shrank by 0.1% in October versus September. An ever so slight decrease in October container traffic, but this is usually a month where container traffic is increasing. And we're also down 7.5% year over year versus October of last year. And they are expecting container traffic to get worse at U.S. ports in November by a pretty decent clip here, guys. This is a recession that we've been in since 2022. It is getting worse, and tariffs are almost certainly playing a role here. And the question of tariffs remains a big one. Are we even going to have these things in another month? What are they going to be? Is the president going to throw a fit and they're going to be 150% again? Or are we going to have another deal and cut them down to 30%? Oh, but it's only for another 90 days, and then we're going to have another extension. Nobody really knows. And this market hates uncertainty. And you can see that reflected in these Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey numbers that came out on Friday. Second worst in history. Only June of 2022 was worse. And you may recall June of 2022, that was right before inflation hit 9%. So consumers are feeling the pain here and they're letting their displeasure be known in these surveys here. Now, we've got a couple other stories going on this morning. We got more data centers that can't get power. And I don't mean that the power is expensive and they're not profitable. I mean they cannot get power. The power company won't hook them up. That's the second story in 2 weeks about that. I wonder, are we going to be seeing more of those? Probably. We got two pitchers in Cleveland just got indicted for fraud and money laundering because, this just in, shocking news, professional athletes are scumbags. More at 11. Yeah, it turns out when you can gamble on everything, professional athletes start rigging games. And, well, yeah, we got another one of that. Again, that's like the second time in 2 weeks we've had a story like this. We've got MD-11s are grounded across the country after a UPS plane blew up and killed several people on board and on the ground shortly after takeoff in Ohio last week. UPS and FedEx had both voluntarily grounded their MD-11 fleet. And then a few hours ago, that became irrelevant when the government ordered all of them grounded pending a safety investigation. That's an old plane that hasn't been used for passengers for quite a while, but they are still flying cargo planes. We've got Deutsche Bank is doing a synthetic risk transfer or a significant risk transfer, an SRT, with the European Investment Fund for Italian auto debt. This is interesting. Why is the risk of Italian auto loans being offloaded from one of the biggest banks in Europe onto this European Investment Fund, which is like this government-sponsored enterprise financial institution that's established for pushing the political agenda of the European Union? I don't know, but auto debt has been kind of wonky here stateside. Is this starting to show up over in Europe? I don't know. And we've got some very interesting stories out of Europe as well this morning. First, we got a EU-wide ban on cash transactions in excess of 10,000 euros. You just can't do it. And then you've got the UK is putting individual caps on stable coins for individuals in that country. So who had capital controls coming to Europe on their 2020s bingo card? Got a lot to talk about once again this morning. Why don't we shrink my big melon of a head and let's see what's going on in the world of finance. Don't forget that like button. You new guys, hit that subscribe button right next to it so you can come back tomorrow and have your coffee with the melon heads, because we do this every day. Right now, the S&P 500 is higher by 62 points or 0.92%. Loving that end of the government shutdown in sight. Loving the helicopter money and the 50-year mortgage, apparently. The Dow is also right up there with it, up 191 points, 0.41% higher for the Dow. And the NASDAQ is leading the way higher, 369 points, almost 1.5% higher for the tech-heavy NASDAQ this morning. So with stocks up across the board, we've got a dollar that's pretty much unchanged here at 99.59. That's down one basis point, not a real big move in the dollar today. Bond yields are higher across the board, which means bonds are lower. Bonds is probably the one thing that is being sold today. Everything else is getting bought up. 30-year Treasury, 4.718. That's higher by almost two basis points. The 10-year's at 4.113, higher by two basis points. The 2-year yield, meanwhile, 3.585, higher by almost 3 points. And the 1 month is at 3.938. That's higher by almost one basis point. Bitcoin is having a good morning as well. Again, all of these dovish monetary and policy deals, I guess they'd be dovish fiscal policies coming out of DC this morning, is pushing Bitcoin higher. $106,216 as priced on Coinbase. Two good days in a row. We were very briefly below 100,000 just a few days ago. Right now, though, Bitcoin showing signs of life here. And looking over at the commodities board, we've got metals are looking good here just off of their highs of the morning. We've got spot gold at $4,086. It was at 1.4105 this morning, but for now, higher by $87 or 2.2% higher. December gold futures also higher by about 85 bucks here, $4,094. That's up by 2.1%. Spot silver is at $49.80 right now after climbing as high as $50.20 this morning. It's up by $1.46 or 3% higher. December front-month silver contracts, $49.65. That's higher by $1.51 this morning, or 3.1% higher. You'll notice we're still a little bit in backwardation here, ever so slightly. The London price for spot is about 15 cents higher than that December front-month contract. Very briefly, yesterday, we were back in contango. Looks like right now the London price is back just a little bit higher than that New York price. We've also got copper is up by 1.6%. Platinum is up almost 3%. Palladium is up about 2.1%. And WTI crude oil is up 0.75%, $60.19 for December WTI futures. That's higher by about 44 cents this morning. On the gold front, we got one interesting story from one of the biggest gold miners in the world. Barrick returns more money to investors as gold prices soar. It was one hell of a quarter for Barrick here. Barrick Mining boosted its quarterly dividend and expanded a share buyback program after bullion's record-breaking rally. The gold producer also said it's undertaking an operational review. The company, one of the world's biggest gold producers, increased its payout by 25% to 12.5 U.S. cents a share and approved an extra 5 cents a share performance dividend for the last three-month period, according to a statement on Monday. In light of exceptionally strong cash flow, the board of the Canadian firm also authorized an additional share buyback of $500 million. That's after repurchasing $1 billion of its stock so far this year. Barrick generated a record $1.5 billion in free cash flow in the third quarter after producing 829,000 ounces of gold. Bullion has soared more than 55% this year and last month hit an all-time high above $43.81 an ounce. So Barrick Mining Corporation having a good morning here. We are higher by almost 5%, $34.73. Up by $1.63, and year-to-date, this one is already up 114%, so you can add this morning's gains to that number. And want to send a shout-out to my friend Bob Coleman from Idaho Armored Vaults, or at Profits Plus ID on X. He's talking about the silver situation here. Silver December futures accelerating higher versus the cash spot market. Silver no longer in backwardation as the lead futures contract reverses into a slight contango. Since this was posted, we have gone back into backwardation. But Bob is correct to point out that we've been kind of like flirting with that break-even point. I don't know if that's the right word, but going back and forth between contango and backwardation just a couple of cents, whereas a few weeks ago, we were $3 deep into backwardation. So the silver market looks a lot healthier here is what I should say. With the government potential resolving the shutdown, all eyes turn toward the Section 232 investigation with silver. U.S. trade law Section 232 refers to an investigation under the Trade Expansion Act of 1962, which empowers the president to impose tariffs on imports deemed a threat to national security. In 2025, silver was proposed for the critical minerals list, making it a potential target for such a 232 investigation and possible tariffs. And we got the final list of critical minerals over the weekend, and silver is on it. Silver is now a critical mineral, but we still don't know about that Section 232 investigation, if there's going to be tariffs on silver or not. I'm not advocating for tariffs on silver, but it's still a question. They could be put on silver, and I think that would make one hell of a mess in the market, and the market is not priced for tariffs on silver. So that's something to keep an eye on still. That one remains an open question. All right, here's the big one this morning. Senate advances plan to end shutdown after some Democrats agree. This one hit the tape late last night. The U.S. Senate took a major step towards reopening the government after a group of moderate Democrats broke with their party leaders and voted to support a deal to end the record-breaking shutdown. The Senate voted 60 to 40 on a procedural measure to advance the bill Sunday evening. The Senate adjourned until Monday and has not yet scheduled a vote for final passage. The House also needs to approve the measure before it goes to President Trump's desk for his signature. Under the agreement, Congress would pass full-year funding for the Departments of Agriculture, Veterans Affairs, and Congress itself. Of course, they got to get paid, am I right? While funding other agencies through January 30th, so we get to have another government shutdown fight in just 3 months. The bill would provide pay for furloughed government workers, resume withheld federal payments to state and localities, and recall agency employees who were laid off during the shutdown. The face-saving accord also falls short of the goals of House and Senate Democrat leaders who had demanded an extension of expiring Obamacare premium subsidies and a repeal of Medicaid cuts passed by Republicans earlier this year. Democrats secured a pledge by Republicans to vote on a bill to renew the Affordable Care Act tax credits by mid-December. According to a person familiar with the talks, that vote would almost certainly fail, but the Democrats at least want to have it. So that's the plan here. They're moving towards reopening the government. I guess that's good news. Meanwhile, it's kind of making a mess at airports here, this shutdown. FAA limits private aircraft flights at major airports. Government officials have sought to reduce flight capacity at airports to ease strains on air traffic controllers. The Federal Aviation Administration is slated to limit business jets and other private flights to some of the country's largest airports to ease strains on air traffic personnel during the government shutdown. The restrictions are due to begin Monday and will affect private jet flights at a dozen airports, including Atlanta, Dallas-Fort Worth, Denver, and Chicago's O'Hare, according to the National Business Aviation Association trade group. The FAA's plan effectively halts business aviation operations at those airports, the trade group said. The FAA on Friday required 40 major airports to reduce traffic by 4%. Airlines canceled over 3,600 U.S. flights between Friday and Sunday, according to data from FlightAware. The FAA's initial order called for reductions to increase to 6% of capacity by Tuesday, 8% by Thursday, November 13th, and 10% by Friday, the 14th. In addition to the cancellation, staffing strains at airports are resulting in sizable delays for travelers. About 50% of departing flights at Chicago's O'Hare were delayed Sunday, and more than half of scheduled departures at airports in Detroit, Orlando, and New York City were delayed. So it looks like the private jets are going to have to wait here. If we're pausing commercial aviation and passenger flights, yeah, we're not going to make room on the runways and in the tower for the private jets. Again, hopefully this shutdown is over soon, and then that can get back to normal. Now, even as that's all going on, we've got U.S. ports are facing a goods recession amid a holiday lull and tariff woes. Some of this data is a little worrying here. I want to send a shout out to Craig Fuller from FreightWaves, who has been all over this one for the last few weeks. U.S. import volumes are projected to slow through year-end, holidays, and into 2026 as tariff uncertainty weighs on cargo owners and the outlook for consumer spending remains clouded, new data showed. According to Descartes Systems Group latest global shipping report, the volume of U.S. container imports slipped 0.1% last month compared with September, marking only the second October in the past decade to show month-over-month decline and a clear sign of importer caution. All right, so a 0.1% decline in container traffic, not something that by itself would be worrying, but we're in the month of October here. This is a month where container traffic typically increases by a good amount ahead of the holidays. That's not happening. So the fact that this is happening in October, that is a big deal. The October total of 2.31 million 20-foot equivalent container units, or TEUs, was 7.5% lower than the year earlier level and left the year-to-date tally just 0.9% higher than the total during the first 10 months of 2024. Separate figures from the National Retail Federation and Hackett Associates predict year-on-year declines in inbound container volumes of 14.4% for November and 17.9% in December. So these declines are going to get bigger, much bigger here. U.S. importers are facing persistent geopolitical friction and regulatory volatility, which drives higher levels of supply chain uncertainty and complexity as policies shift and evolve quickly, Jackson Wood, director of industry strategy at Descartes, said in a report released on Monday. And we've got more data here pointing towards a severe recession. Check out this Michigan consumer sentiment information. This came out on Friday. University of Michigan's consumer sentiment index fell to 50.3 in November, down from 53.6 in October and below expectations of 53.2. A preliminary estimate showed the reading marked the second lowest on record, just above the June 2022 low, as Americans grew increasingly concerned about the potential economic fallout from the longest U.S. government shutdown in history. The current economic conditions index fell to an all-time low of 52.3, driven by a 17% drop in assessments of current personal finances, while the consumer expectations index slipped to a six-month low of 49.0, reflecting an 11% decline in year-ahead business expectations. Sentiment weakened broadly across age, income, and political groups, with one exception, though. Households in the top third of stock ownership reported an 11% rise in confidence, supported by stock market strength. There is your K-shaped economy. Very few people doing very well. Everybody else, not so much. Inflation expectations were mixed. Year-ahead inflation inched up to 4.7% from 4.6%, while long-term expectations eased to 3.6 from 3.9. So here you can see the Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index at 50.3, second lowest ever. Only that 50.0 from June of 2022 was worse. And that is the worst data going back, well, ever. It's never been worse than that. So we got that going for us, which is nice. But it's all right, because we've got helicopter money is making a comeback. Trump suggests $2,000 payouts to Americans as he defends tariffs. President praises benefits of the levies after the Supreme Court appears skeptical of his justification for many of them. President Trump suggested tariff revenues could be used to fund payments of at least $2,000 to most Americans. Days after the Supreme Court appeared skeptical of the level backing for of the legal backing for many of his tariffs, the president on social media Sunday lauded the revenue they had bought in and said the government would soon begin paying down the country's debt. He also said a payment of at least $2,000 would be made to everyone but high-income earners. By the way, helicopter money, that's not how you fix inflation. Just throwing that one out there. That makes it worse. If you give people money, they're going to spend it. People that are against tariffs are fools. We are now the richest, most respectable country in the world with almost no inflation and a record stock market price, Trump wrote in a post on Truth Social. A dividend of at least $2,000 a person, not including high-income people, will be paid to everyone. Trump didn't offer further details about the payoffs or who would qualify for them. The president previously has floated the idea of returning savings from his agenda to Americans. He suggested earlier this year that the government could give payouts from savings carved out by Elon Musk's Doge. Doge implemented budget cuts and workforce reductions at federal agencies. Trump, in his first term, signed stimulus checks to Americans during the COVID pandemic when the economy cratered. So more helicopter money. Well, we knew that one was coming at some point. And why not sprinkle in a 50-year mortgage while you're at it? Housing director confirms administration working on 50-year mortgage after Trump hint. Federal Housing and Finance Agency, or FHFA director Bill Pulte, on Saturday said the Trump administration is working on a plan to introduce a 50-year mortgage term for homebuyers. Thanks to President Trump, we are indeed working on the 50-year mortgage, a complete game changer that will only send home prices even higher, Pulte wrote in a statement on social media platform X. I may have embellished a little bit there. It followed a Truth Social post by President Trump earlier in the day where he shared a graphic juxtaposing an image of him next to one of former President Franklin D. Roosevelt. The administration that oversaw the New Deal established the 30-year mortgage standard to help citizens recover from the Great Depression. Similarly, Trump campaigned on creating affordability for the younger generation last year, but the president has faced headwinds on the subject more recently as prices rise. Google searches for help with mortgage recently climbed to their highest level since 2009, while adjustable rate mortgages, or ARMs, have also been trending. ARMs made up about 10% of all mortgage applications in September, the highest share in nearly 2 years, and well above the post-2008 average of 6%, according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. How about we bring back the 100-year interest-only adjustable rate mortgage? Sure, why not? Let's get creative here. Guys, we need lower house prices. We don't need more programs that just subsidizes endless increases in home prices. This belief that house prices will only ever go up has caused so many problems before. Why are we trying so hard to keep it that way? I don't get it. Let the prices come down so young people can afford a house again. Why would that be so terrible? Oh, but my equity. Who cares? Nobody cares. Live within your means. Meanwhile, we got another data center that can't get juice. Data centers in NVIDIA's hometown stand empty, awaiting power. That's not good optics. The fate of two facilities in Santa Clara, California, highlights a major challenge for the U.S. tech sector and indeed the wider economy. We were just talking about these Amazon data centers that couldn't get power. Now we're talking about these here in NVIDIA's hometown. Two of the world's biggest data center developers have projects in NVIDIA's hometown that may sit empty for years because the local utility isn't ready to supply electricity. In Santa Clara, California, where the world's biggest supplier of AI chips is based, Digital Realty Trust applied in 2019 to build a data center. Roughly 6 years later, the developments remain an empty shell awaiting full energization. Stack Infrastructure, which was acquired earlier this year by Blue Owl Capital, has a nearby 48-megawatt project that's also vacant, while the city-owned utility Silicon Valley Power struggles to upgrade its capacity. The fate of the two facilities highlights a major challenge for the U.S. tech sector and indeed the wider economy. While demand for data centers has never been greater, driven by the boom in cloud computing and AI, access to electricity is emerging as the biggest constraint. That's largely because of aging power infrastructure, a slow build-out of new transmission lines, and a variety of regulatory and permitting hurdles. So just keep building data centers, just keep borrowing money and doing your circular financing. Never mind the fact that we can't power them. Maybe you just don't get the science. Power comes from walls, silly rabbit. Everybody knows that. Who cares if there's not enough transmission lines or power plants to power these things? Just buy more GPUs. Meanwhile, Cleveland Guardians pitchers are indicted for a scheme to rig bets on pitches thrown. All right, maybe this isn't the biggest finance news in the world right now, but is everything a fraud? I mean, one of my favorite parts in The Big Short is when Steve Carell is giving his speech, you know, based on Steve Eisman's character. And he's given a speech next to, they called him Bruce Miller in the movie. It was really Bill Miller. And he's talking about how everything is a fraud. And he says, even baseball. Well, it appears we're back to that now. Baseball, still a fraud here. Cleveland Guardians pitchers indicted for scheme to rig bets on pitches thrown. Two pitchers from the Cleveland Guardians were indicted on charges related to a sports betting and money laundering conspiracy. Federal prosecutors announced Sunday the latest scandal tied to gambling across professional sports. According to the indictment, Guardians pitchers Emmanuel Clase and Luis Ortiz took bribes as part of a scheme to rig bets on pitches thrown during Major League Baseball games. Prosecutors say the scheme started in May 2023 with Clase, and then later included Ortiz. The two players who faced federal charges of fraud, conspiracy, and bribery were placed on leave by Major League Baseball officials in July as the league conducted a gambling investigation. They face a potential punishment of up to 20 years in prison if found guilty of the charges. According to the indictment, the two pitchers agreed in advance with their co-conspirators on specific pitches that they would throw during games. Those co-conspirators then used that information to place hundreds of fraudulent bets on those pitches, the indictment said. For example, the indictment alleges Clase agreed with sports bettors to rig prop bets on particular pitches he threw, with those bets being placed on the speed and types of pitches, often those thrown on the first pitch of an at-bat. Clase would often throw those pitches well outside of the strike zone in the dirt, the indictment alleges. As a result, the players would receive bribes and kickbacks. And Clase also provided money to the bettors to advance the scheme. The indictment includes an example of pitches that Class A allegedly rigged in a game against the New York Mets. The indictment charges that in total, Class A caused his co-conspirator bettors to win at least $400,000 in fraudulent bets. The scheme to rig bets is the latest case intertwining illegal betting and professional and college sports. Good God, everything is fake, even baseball. Meanwhile, UPS grounds the MD-11 fleet after Kentucky cargo jet crash. Here's what to know. That the title pretty much says it all, guys. There was a cargo plane crash last week in Kentucky. I think I said Ohio earlier in the show. It was in Kentucky. Sorry about that. MD-11, it's an older plane. It hasn't been used for passenger flight in over a decade. UPS and FedEx had both voluntarily grounded their MD-11 fleet after the crash. Now the FAA has come out and said, no, you have to. So they're going to do an investigation, figure out what caused it. This is a three-engine jet. An engine fell off that plane in Kentucky, and another engine caught fire during takeoff. And then, of course, the plane, just fully loaded with fuel, crashed into several buildings near the airport, killing 14 people. I guess we're going to have to wait and see what the investigation reveals about that one. This is an interesting story now. Deutsche Bank nears SRT deal with European Investment Fund. I don't really know what to make of this story. I'm not sure if this is related to some of the things going on with auto finance here in the States, but this one's got the hair on the back of my neck sticking up a little bit. Deutsche Bank is close to completing a significant risk transfer with the European Investment Fund, according to people familiar with the matter. The so-called SRT, in which the European Investment Fund will be investing, is tied to a portfolio of about 1 billion euros or $1.16 billion of Italian auto loans, said the people who asked not to be identified because the matter is private. EIF, which is part of the European Investment Bank Group, has been regularly investing in synthetic securitizations, whereby a bank keeps the loans it makes on its books, but transfers the risk to someone else. It's part of a strategy to help commercial banks free up capital that can be redeployed into new loans in priority areas such as innovation or sustainability. So, look, these significant risk transfers, our banks are doing it too. They basically take a big cash payment from a pension fund or somebody, in this case, the European Investment Fund, and then the bank pays a regular fee to that fund in exchange for that fund basically taking all of the risk from these loans. Now, the loans stay on the bank's books, but if those loans default, the money doesn't come out of the bank. The money comes out of that money that was set aside by the investment fund. So they have synthetically moved the risk elsewhere. And because they've done this, it allows the bank to free up capital. Now they can go make more loans. The thing is, they're doing this with Italian auto loans, and they're using this European Investment Fund, which is a government-sponsored enterprise. Something a little fishy about this one, guys. I don't know why they would want to do this. And the fact that it's tied to auto loans and all the trouble going on with auto finance here in the States, keep one eye on this story. And we've got some good old-fashioned capital controls in Europe here. This one from Unusual Wales this morning. The EU has agreed to a uniform block-wide ban on cash transactions over 10,000 euros. Remember when 10,000 euros was a lot of money? Well, now it ain't. The government says you can't handle that much cash. Why? I don't know. I don't know why. Because the European Union just wants to control everything. That's why. They want to see everything you do. They want to control everything you do. So cashless society. And meanwhile, England is saying, well, hold my beer. The UK to impose temporary stablecoin caps, £20,000 limit per individual, 60% backing allowed in short-term government debt. I don't know if this is their version of the Genius Act coming out, but you're not allowed to have more than £20,000 of stablecoins. Again, remember when £20,000 was a lot of money? So what happens if you sell some Bitcoin for stable coins, you're only allowed to sell $20,000? This is capital controls. Maybe this is going to get people stuck in crypto. I don't know. But this coming out at the same time the European Union is putting limits on cash transactions. Can't help but notice the road to serfdom. There it is, guys, between that and the 50-year mortgage. And yeah, we'll never own our own houses. Oh, it's going to be great. You're going to love it. Hey, I just want to say thank you very much to the Royal Ensign, who became a YouTube member. Well, thank you very much, Royal Ensign. I appreciate that very much. Thank you for supporting the channel. Guys, don't forget, when you're a new member, hey, just like Royal Ensign and Jason Bennett, who's a new member, new members get a free super chat every month. So feel free to use those. I will read and respond to your questions live on the air. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Mr. Ensign, for supporting the channel. You guys are awesome. Troy Rhodes says, found Super Chat thing. Jack stormtrooping YouTube. Nothing to see here. Move along. Move along. Hey, man, I am far more accurate in my shot placement than a stormtrooper. I take issue with that description. But sure, why not? I get the whole vibe you're going for, Troy Rhodes. Thank you for supporting the channel, sir. You're a gentleman and a scholar. Break my wallet. Motorsports. Thank you, sir. He says 50-year mortgage will increase demand and prices. Up goes property taxes and insurance. It's almost like all these home affordability problems or programs don't actually make homes affordable. Amazing. Next thing you're going to tell me is college affordability programs don't make college affordable. You crazy conspiracy nuts, I tell you. Up goes property taxes and insurance, so homes will continue to be unaffordable. Yeah, I agree with your description of the plan. I agree with your assessment here. We need lower prices. Stop coming up with all these excuses for prices to go higher, enabling us to take on more and more debt. It's all just another version of Zerpenberg. Lower rates and helicopter money to keep asset prices going up forever, and then we wonder why we've got inflation. It's a bad idea. I agree wholeheartedly. Break my wallet, Motorsports. And we've got Not Pedro Pascal. Hello, Not Pedro. He says, when does the military get things that go boom? Military has a lot of things that go boom. They're spending a lot of money on those things that go boom. We're giving a lot of the things that go boom to our friends. I think the military industrial complex is going to get their payout no matter what. Call me crazy. Shut down the government, cut spending, whatever you want. Something tells me the Raytheons, the General Dynamics, and the Lockheed Martins are going to get their piece of the pie no matter what happens. Keep one eye on Venezuela, by the way. That's still out there. We've still got a carrier group steaming toward the Caribbean. Thanks again, Not Pedro Pascal. Lisa B. says, 50th anniversary, Edmund Fitz, rest in peace, crew, and Gordon Lightfoot. Gordon Lightfoot. Well, what was that song? Man, I had a Gordon Lightfoot song stuck in my head not too long. If you could read my mind. Yeah, that one. Well, 50th anniversary, rest in peace, crew, and Gordon Lightfoot. Sure, why not, Lisa? Thank you for supporting the channel. I appreciate that very much. What the heck was that song called by Gordon Lightfoot? Oh, man, I can't remember it. My dad is going to yell at me for that one. He'll probably text me, too. Thank you, Lisa. Glenn Daler says, even baseball, say it ain't so, Joe. Afraid it is. I'm afraid it is. Hey, this goes all the way back, right? Shoeless Joe Jackson, Pete Rose, all of them. I'm sure Mickey Mantle did this crap too. They're all degenerates, guys. They're professional athletes. They're baseball players. They're not role models. They're not people who you should emulate by any measure. But man, tone it down a notch. Really, guys, just tone it down a little bit. Like throwing pitches in the dirt to rig parlays and all that stupid crap. And who was it? Was it Chauncey Billups, the guy coach for the was it the Trailblazers? We're like a week removed from that story where they were like x-raying poker tables to flash people's hole cards. Give me a break with this stuff. This things are getting dark, man. Hey, thanks, Glenn Daler, for supporting the channel. I appreciate that very much, sir. Yes, RB Trash said it was Edmund Fitzgerald. Yes. Did I say Edward? Mr. Ed, we'll call him Fitzgerald. Was it really 50 years ago? Has it been that long? Well, I'm not even 50 years old, so I'm not going to sit here and act like I remember. But thank you very much, RB Trash, for supporting the channel, Mr. Arbitrage. See what he did there. Hey, thanks, everybody, for having your coffee with the Melonheads this morning. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button on the way out, you know, for the algo, should you feel so inclined. Thank you guys very much for the super chats. Thank you as well to my magnanimous Melonheads on YouTube, Patreon, Buy Me a Coffee. Thank you guys for your support. Links down below, should you feel so inclined. Hey, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you guys, everybody. Till next time, live small and dream big.